goals of Calvary.
Preacher, he took my life, shattered with me.
Well, many times, if you come once, that's good. If you come back, it's a miracle. And so I'm always glad when the church is full. But I'm always glad when family gets to be here. I thought, BB, you sit down on the piano. I miss you. Just want you to know, I miss you really, really a whole lot. And I appreciate you singing. But see Pig Ears and B and here this morning. And Justin and Sammy come in. Good to see them this morning, to see all my family. And some couldn't be here, but I'm glad for the family that's here. I've not had what a lot of people's had. A lot of people ain't had much of a family. They ain't had nobody to support them, nobody to help them. A lot of people that's had, even big families, have had to stand by themselves when a lot of things has taken place. But my family, and me included, is far from perfect, but I got a good family. That if one's down, that there'll be a bunch come in, and they'll stand with you. They may tell you, we don't really like what you're doing, but we're going to stand with you. You know, I like my family. I love my family. And I'm glad y'all's here this morning. But I'm glad you're here. See, then it's not just family. Then I got family. I got family, and then I got family. We're all family. You're saved this morning. You're part of my family. And we're going to honor the Father and honor our Savior this morning the best we can. As I said last week, we're going to preach on the cross. And there's not enough can be said about the cross. And so we're going to preach the best we can this morning. And I hope that maybe, if nothing else, it'll just make you fall in love with the Lord even more because of Him this morning. All right? Because of Calvary, I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again. I can't be what I was. I can't be lost. I was lost. I can't be like that again. I can't be that way again because of Calvary. And I'm glad this morning. All right, let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful. There's no doubt about that. You're great. And right when we can't, then we've realized that we've done went further because you carried us. And Lord, we sure trust you this morning. I'm unworthy. I'm a wretch. I understand that. I ask you to cleanse me, my mind, my heart, anything that would be like sin. And anyway, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want nothing between me and you this morning. And again, I stand here unable to preach, unable to stand. I'm unable to do anything in my own power. Lord, if you would empower me, I'd appreciate it. Preach me as you want me to preach, not as I desire to, but as you want me to. Lord, I pray that every heart, every ear might hear, and may we all go from this place praising you for who you are, what you've done, and what you've done inside of our heart. Oh, you're so good to us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. Please touch me fresh, oh Lord, and amen. As we come closer to Easter next week, we celebrate the resurrection. The resurrection, of course, is vitally important. If we had just had a dead Savior, then we wouldn't have no hope. He rose to made everything complete. By Him rising, that's the completion of the gospel, that He died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's all of that to make up the gospel. It's not just the death. But I want you to understand, there had to be a death. There had to be. It could not be just a passed along sacrifice. It couldn't just be a volunteered sample, but it had to be a supreme sacrifice. They sing songs. They sound good. They may rhyme, but one drop of blood was not enough to wash our sins away. One drop of blood didn't wash your sins away. It took all the blood of Christ to wash your sins away. It took all the blood of Christ to wash our sins away. All of us, it took everything that he had. And that's what's so amazing, because he had to give himself to do it. He didn't just prick his finger and give us a sample, but it was drained from him. It was took from him. He offered it. The sacrifice was given that I might have eternal life and that my sins be atoned for. Can I tell you, you read through the scripture and the eternal life is not mentioned really in the sacrifices. We see it, it's there. But what was the main thing is that we was justified with God. That's the main thing of the cross, that we are justified by the blood of Christ. And that sacrifice makes it okay that we're reconciled to him by the cross. Are you hearing me? And then as the resurrection we'll look at next week, he then seals us, if you would, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making continual intercessions. But can I tell you, had it not been for the cross, then we'd be yet in our sin. But had he not been risen, we are yet in our sin just the same. And it takes the whole thing this morning. So when we think about the cross, I want you to think about it again today. And I can't say enough about it. I could preach on it for weeks and months, and maybe someday I will. But I want you to think about that. That God, and now hang with me for just a moment before we get to the scripture. I want you to picture in your mind that it's not just a happening. It's not just an Easter tradition. That's not what it is, but it was a time in history. It was a purpose time when the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Now, so the birth was purposed. Christmas is a holiday, but the birth was purposed. And then that he might redeem them that was under the law. Why? That was a purpose plan of God to redeem me and you, because we are sinners. Everybody in here either has been or is a sinner this morning. Listen to me, listen carefully. I'm saved. I am not perfect. I do wrong every day. I miss the mark, and I do sin. Hear me. But God don't look at me no longer as a sinner. He looks at me as a saint, as a child of God. I'm not viewed that way anymore as a sinner. And if you're saved, he don't view you that way, even though you may sin. Listen carefully. And when we do sin, my fellowship is broken, and I've got to apologize to my God for doing wrong, that my fellowship might be intact. But my sonship was sealed on May the 27th, 1973, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I was sealed then unto the day of redemption by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You hear me now? And so I sin, so I'm either classified today, and it don't sound right, but a sinning saint or just a sinner. Are you hearing me? Everybody all right? Everybody understand me this morning? If you've never been saved, you're yet in your sins. If you've never been saved, you're guilty to God. If you've never been saved, washed in the blood, you're going to hell. If you've never been saved, you're an alien. You're an imminent enemy with God. You're separated from God and will continue to be separated from God forever unless you come to Christ, repenting of your sins and trusting him as your Savior. Now, hear me now. Should we sin? No. John wrote to us in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, I would that you sin not. But if you do, he said, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Understand that. And I'm not going to brag about being a sinner, but all I can brag about being a child of God because of the blood of Christ. Not by works I have done, the Bible says, for it's not by works, but by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saved by works. I'm not kept by works. Hear me closely now, but my fellowship involves a lot of what I do. Are we okay? But we're not looking at all that. We're looking at the cross. We're looking at the payment. We're looking at what justified me. What made me clean? What made me a child of the King? What made me what I am today? Paul said, I am what I am today by the grace of God. He said, I am what I am. Well, that's what I am now. I am saved today by the grace of God. Undeserving. Nobody in here deserves it. You don't, everybody in here now, let's look. Everybody listen close to me because I don't want nobody to misunderstand. On your own merits, ain't nobody here worth spit. On your own merits. I don't care how well you think of yourself. You are, well, you just ain't worth powder and lead blow you. On your own, in your own merit. Alright? Because we're lying heathens. Huh? We're filthy, blaspheming, lying, cheating, adulterous, idolatrous, heathens. That's what we are. And then God comes and saves us. And he saves us by what he done on the cross. Think about that. By what he done on the cross. Are you hearing me? But what he done on the cross and me trusting that. Oh, what a day when I come by Calvary and I understood it was for me. Huh? When I understood it was for me. Oh, I could understand it being for you. Some of you especially, I understand it being for you. But understanding for me ain't the same. But oh, I understand this morning that it's for me. It's for me. When I think about God. God. Now hear me now. That God come down in the flesh. Hear me this morning. That Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. He is God. And that God come down. Think about that. That God come down. And in the flesh, huh? That he walked on this earth like we would. That he eat and that he slept. Yet he said the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He was looked on different. His family didn't like him. His family didn't like his preaching, as I mentioned last week. And Luke chapter 4, after he preached to his family and back home, they tried to run him off a cliff. That ain't enjoying the preaching. You understand that? All right? Think about that. But that's the way, but he was different because he was God. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. It wasn't that he didn't choose to sin. He was God. And he didn't sin. He couldn't sin. He was God. And he put on the robe of flesh to be tempted that he might feel the temptation, but he was God. He put on the robe of flesh that he might feel hunger. Not that he could have made anything food, but he wanted to suffer and understand hunger. So he put on the robe of flesh, the loneliness and the denial and the betrayal and all the things that he went through. He done it that he might feel what we feel. To be lied upon and to be mistreated. To be looked down upon. To be shunned. To then be arrested and to be spit upon. To be beat with a rod. To be beat with the hands. To then go to the scourging pole and be scourged. All because of me and you. Not because of himself. But because of me and you. To have the hide beat off of him. Until the meat hung and his bowels were exposed and his rib cage exposed and the bones in his face exposed and the hair and his beard pulled out and his eyes swollen shut and the brand of thorns put on his head and all of that then to carry his cross and then to go yonder to Calvary's mountain and then to lay down and let him drive the spikes in his hands and in his feet for nobody but me and you who are filthy, wretched, worthless sinners, and that's what he done for me and you. And when it comes to Easter, oh, I'm going to glory in the resurrection, but I'm going to glory in the cross. That's why Paul said, if I'm going to glory, let me glory in the cross of Christ, for somebody named Jesus died in my place this morning. Think about that. think about that this morning. All because of Christ that I have anything at all. To be hung there after they nailed him down to the cross. To be hung there in shame, naked. And the people of Scripture says, and sitting down, they beheld him there. They just all gathered up and sat and looked at him. I mean, ain't that right cruel? Amen. It's one thing to do it. But no, they done it. Then they just all gathered around and started gambling a little bit. Well, we ain't got no money left. Let's get his clothes. Let's get him. I mean, that's the attitude of society. Yeah. They had, can I tell you, that attitude's never changed. Right. People still don't like Christ. Huh? Oh, I believe in God. Oh, but you don't believe in Christ, that Christ was God, you're lost. Right. Look at me this morning. If you don't believe that Christ is God, you're lost. Right. You're unsaved. Amen. You're lost. Amen. It's a must. Yes, it is. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're believing that He's deity. Yes. That He's God. Yes, sir. Huh? You must believe that. Huh? Think about that. That's why these damnable heresy books try to take away the deity. Rick's been teaching about the Laodicean age. Can I tell you, they are. They're damnable. And whether people like it or not, they're damnable heresy. Corruptible trash. Look, I don't know of anything else I can, any other adjective that comes to my mind right now. But that's where we stand. Amen. And we're not going to take away from Christ. Amen. That He is God. And that He died in my place. Amen. So let's look at some scripture just for a moment. Can we go preach on the cross? Are we okay? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. We'll start there. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Drop down chapter 2, verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So what is the power of God? It said in verse 18, chapter 1, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." My faith can rest in the power of God, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. For that power, there's nothing else that's got the power that the cross has this morning. Amen. Nothing at all has that power. Now there's, we wear it around our neck. If you want to, that's fine. We put it on our cars. That's fine. At that fish, and we'll put it on. That's fine. I'm not knocking none of that. We'll put it in our homes. That's fine, huh? But if that's the only place it is, it ain't nothing but a dust collector, huh? What it needs to be is real in your heart. It needs to be real in your mind. And it ought not just be a seasonal thing. It ought to be a daily thing. Huh? Ought to be a daily thing. I can't, when I pray, when I get down to pray of a day, hear me this morning. I understand that the blood of Christ is what's given me access. I understand that the blood of Christ is what's allowed me to come into the presence of God. Because I can't come on my own. If I come on my own, then I gotta come with nothing but sin. Oh, but no, God don't see me like that. He sees me with the blood, and I can come in His presence and talk to God. I can talk to God. Hey, I can talk to God because of the blood of the cross of Calvary. Huh? Think about that. What they sang last Sunday, they sung that God looks on, how's it go? He looks on him and pardons me. And God looks on Christ and pardons me. I just can't get over that. I just can't, that to me, that's the most amazing thing that I've ever heard, that God looks on Christ and pardons me. That makes no sense. You can't understand it. But boy, I believe it this morning. And I know it. But when I think about the cross this morning, I want to start with just for a moment this morning, the importance of the cross. How important is the cross? Well, you know, John the Baptist said when he was baptizing there, Jesus come through and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's John 1:29, I believe. "Where, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Well, that's good. How's he going to do it? How's he going to do it? How's he going to take away the sin of the world? How's he going to take away my sin? Remember what you had again, you? Huh? Every blasphemous word. Everyone. Every blasphemous thought. Every drop of liquor. Every dirty book. Every dirty picture. Every lie. Every mishandle of a penny. Every foolish thought. How about that? I'm wiped out just on that. Huh? Every foolish thought. You still listening?
Yeah.
Every idle word. How about everything that I put before a holy God? How about every lust of a woman or a man? Everything, just mark them all down. Of every time that happened, it just kept building and building. Now, some of that is many times a day. Thousands upon thousands of felonies against God. We got some police officers here this morning. And if I come to you, I'm 60, maybe we'll just say 61 years old. And let's say I'm a good moral guy. I don't see him but three times a day, which is just three times a second. But if I say, cut me some slack and I do it three times a day, that's roughly 1,000 times a year, that 61,000 felonies I have against the holy God. Would y'all come and get me and jack a jail up if you didn't hang me when you found me and throw me under the jail? Huh? But can I tell you, it's far more than that. But yet I read in His Word, "Behold the Lamb of God to take away sin." But how did He do it? Well, I'm glad I have a Bible. Because Colossians chapter 2 says in verse 14, it says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principality and power, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." And let me tell you, the cross is the reason my sins were took away. And the importance of the cross, that's what made my sins be taken away this morning, as He became my scapegoat and carried Him. It says over in 1 Peter, it says that who became sin for me in His own body and carried Him there on the tree this morning. That's why the cross is important. We okay? And then when I think not only the cross, it's just not any cross. It's not just any cross now. I want to think about the importance of the cross, but the identity of the cross. The identity of the cross, for it's the cross of Christ. It's not any cross. See, the cross was the Romans' way of torture and punishment. That was a wasn't a first time thing. Are you understanding me? Somebody on the cross, that ain't the first time somebody died on the cross. But the ones that died on the cross were all criminals. The ones that had died on the cross up to that time were all guilty. But not the cross of Christ. For the identity of the cross is important, that it wasn't just any cross, but that it was at the cross of Christ. Right. Did we not read that there in our text this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? It says in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Huh? Now we can read it a lot. If you want to, we can read them all, but I don't know that it's necessary. There back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, nailing it to his cross. It was Christ's cross where the sins were nailed. Does everybody follow me? We still okay this morning? How about we look there, since we're so close, we can look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 18, it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of" who? Of Christ. Can I tell you, it makes a difference. It wasn't just anybody that died for me. It wasn't just anybody that died on the cross. But that identity of the cross is so important, because it was God. It was God's Son. It was Christ who died for me this morning. Think about that. Man, I don't understand how anybody can diminish or take away anything from the cross. The happening on the cross, the sacrifice on the cross. And if you just want to write it down, you can find it again in Colossians 1, 19 and 20, and Galatians 6, 14, and John 19 and 25. We just keep on. There's all kinds of scripture there that'll let you know it's the cross of Christ we're talking about this morning. We still okay? So the importance of the cross, and the identity of the cross, but can I tell you, it's the intensity of the cross. That's something. The intensity of the cross. When I think about how important it was, when I think about it, it was his cross, it was the cross of Christ, but how intense, huh? You know, when we think about the extreme, when you look up the word intense, it'll even tell you that it's intense, or even intense pain, intense strength, intense concentration. You understand that they didn't just grab him and throw him. You understand that's why he came. You understand that you're why he came. You understand that? That you, it's why he came. And he was so intense and so concentrated and so purposed that it wasn't just a happen chance that they grabbed him, because there was times they would go to get him and he said, "But my time has not yet come," and he would go through. It was happened at a right time, on the right day, at the right hour, in the right place, with the right people involved. Because it was purposed for you.
That's right, amen.
For you. See, he looked behind him to Adam and Eve when they first promised him. Are you hearing me? When he went to the cross, the Father looked back to Adam and Eve when it was promised, when he made him coats of skin, when he promised them that thy seed will be bruised, but his head will be bruised and thy heel will be bruised. You know the scripture I'm talking about. We still okay? He looked back there and said, "I'm going to purposely do it for them." And then he looked plumb ahead to today. Huh? You remember the day or the night that you done got saved? You remember? He looked to that day. He said, "I'm going to give them a chance." And you know, many chances before. I had opportunity after opportunity. Raised in a Christian home. Huh? Daddy a preacher, mommy preacher's wife. Huh? Raised in church. But when he talked to me, give me opportunity, when the Sunday school teachers would teach me, he would give me opportunity. Oh, but the night he saved me, it was he knowed that what he done was for me. Do you deserve any of that? I don't deserve none of that. But boy, ain't you glad he did? Ain't you glad he did? And I just can't get over that. Maybe you can. I just have a hard time. If somebody does me a good turn, I have a hard time forgetting. You know? I probably sat down, we talked a little bit, and if you've ever done something for me personally, I'll remember it. There's a man here years ago come by, and I'd borrowed Carolyn Warburton a tiller. My tiller, I didn't have a tiller. And I'd borrowed Carolyn Warburton's tiller until my garden. And this man drove by, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I borrowed Carolyn Warburton's tiller." The next day, there was a new tiller sitting on my sidewalk. That was 20-some years ago. Brand new tiller sitting on my... I didn't ask him for it. But you know, every spring when I till my garden, you know who I think about? The man that put that tiller on my sidewalk. Are you hearing me? And I just can't help that I think about my sins being gone. I just can't help about thinking about the man who done it, where he done it at. I just can't look over it, you know. I go in a pantry there and pick out a jar of dandelion jelly. Well, there's a person that says she loves me, and I tell her I love her or her family. I'm awful mean to her. But, and even though I'm mean to her, she brings me sweet things. See that? But when I open that jar, I got to go back and look at the one that I've been mean to and teased and all this. Boy, they love me. Why in the world? How in the world can I kneel down and ask God to cleanse me from my sin? And I think about what he done, the one that I've been mean to and ridiculed and made remarks about. Are you understanding this morning the intensity that he went to the cross purpose with concentration and put everything he had into it for us? Just can't beat him. This can't beat him. We still okay? Yes. We still okay? Well, let me give you a couple more things. We'll quit. And then when I think about the cross this morning, and that's not just the importance, not just the identity of the cross, the importance of the cross, and the intensity of the cross, the extreme pain. Do you understand the extreme strength that it took? Yes. People said, "Oh, he was a weakling." Toughest man ever was. Amen. Nobody can be beat the way he was beat. Nobody can go without water and lose that much blood and his hide be stripped off to then pick up a heavy cross and carry it uphill. Think about that. Ain't nobody ever done that. Nobody ever laid their hand out and let them nail it. And then laid the other nap. Maybe one, but not the other. Not hold your feet together. Let him drive the nails through the feet. And let me tell you something. He done it with intense strength. Because the weight of the world was upon him. Are you listening to me? I can't preach it big enough. I can't preach it bloody enough. I can't preach it magnificent enough. I can't tell you how great the cross is.
That's right.
Ain't nothing greater.
That's right.
Than what he done for me and you and my sins and your sins. Man, it's wonderful. Then the cross, it describes God's love. To think that God would love me and you this much. Think about that. To think God would love us that much to even just come down and put on a robe of flesh would have been more than we deserved. But to die in our place, that describes God's love. We just can't explain it. but to describe man's wickedness. What kind of man? What kind of man would blindfold another man who hadn't done nothing and take a rod and beat him upside the head? It's a pretty cruel man. Huh? Pretty cruel man. Now, some of y'all go whiskers. I did. I had my beard there, you know, last month. And I shaved it. I didn't pull it out. I didn't pull it out. I got a couple of hairs caught in the button. And I thought I died. I did. I got it caught in the button. And I went like, oh, my heavens. Two little hairs. Yeah. But to take a handful of beard. And then you got these smart alecks, you know. They say, well, he probably didn't have nothing but this, just hadn't been shaved. Well, let me tell you, if they pulled them little hairs out, they had to dig in there and get it. That's even worse. So they, in their stupidity, they just make it even better. Are we okay? I don't know about y'all. Y'all care if I come just go get a handful and pull out? Huh? That'd be right wicked, wouldn't it? We're going to tie you up and just for fun, we're going to take turns pulling your beard out. How'd that be? Hey, that's pretty wicked, ain't it? Hey, we're going to laugh and we're going to play the crown of thorns and we're going to mash him down on your head and just mash him and just mash him. Just, that's pretty cruel, ain't it? Huh? And we're going to beat you to where it's not just a couple stripes, but we're going to laugh and beat you until the hide peels off.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? That's pretty wicked, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty wicked. And to think, all for me.
Yeah.
Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed.
Yeah. Hmm?
So it describes to me God's love. It describes to me man's wickedness, man's hatefulness. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." He sent his Son that we might see his love. I don't know. Don't understand how much love he has. Are we still okay this morning? But we talk about the cross and the power and the importance and the identity and the intensity and the description. But can I tell you, the power of this cross is shown in this. There's nothing more stronger than the cross. Turn over to John, I believe. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let's look at maybe verse 32. We'll read verse 32 and 33. It says, "And I," Jesus speaking, "and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The cross. The cross draws all men. All men. Huh? All men. Draws all men. Remember when he drawed you? You remember?
Yeah.
Remember when he drawed you? Remember when you shook at the bench?
Yeah.
Huh? Remember? Remember when you run from the visitors? And remember when your heart pounded and you was ashamed to go? Remember when you was sitting in church and a longing to move, but not enough nerve to go? Do you remember? Huh? Do you remember? Do you remember when they would speak to you? Remember that desire inside when they explained the gospel and they explained it to you? And they said, wow. And there's just something that draws you to take it. You remember that? Huh? He draws all men. All men. All men. Huh? I know there's many here, some've been saved by visitation, some've been won to the Lord by a soul winner, some've been at the altar, some've been at work, some've been in revival meetings, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, been saved different places, different kinds of services. But that drawing's always there.
Yeah.
The pulls. It pulls. I remember. I remember. I remember standing and looking and wanting to go. But oh, I can't go. I remember going back the next Sunday and wanting to go. I've not been able to go. Just couldn't go. I remember doing it, but all that night so long ago, when he drawled, I didn't want to say no. He drawled me, and what he was doing, he was just reaching like this to hug me up close and wash my sins away and make me a child of God. That's what he was doing, pulled me. And he drawled like none other. That's the cross this morning. That's the cross. It draws. But then there's something else the cross does. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now hang with me now. Matthew 27. Verse 38, I believe. We'll use that one for now. Matthew 27, verse 38, it said, Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Can I tell you what else the cross does? It divides. It divides. It describes and it draws and it divides. It divides one who will accept and one who will reject. It divides. It divides. He stands there. There's no movement with Christ. You hear me. You hear me this morning. The gospel is set. The gospel don't change. The gospel don't vary. It's the same for every man, woman, boy, and girl. The gospel is the center of the line right there. And it divides those who will accept it or those who will reject it. But you got to come to the center. Are you hearing me? It divides. And it divides everybody. It ain't, well, I don't think. It don't matter what you think. Well, I don't believe. That's the key. If you won't believe, then you're on the side of rejection. You understand me? It divides. Now, he draws all men. Then you make a choice of what side you get on. What side you gonna choose? The thieves were the same. They even said they were the same. When you hear the thieves describe themselves, it says, we are guilty. This man ain't. We're the same. See, there's no difference for those who come to the cross. There's no difference. Are you hearing me? But there's one side, those who accept. The other side, those who will reject. And that's just the simplicity of the gospel. Then it does one more thing. It determines. See, when you accept, reject, that determines then where you spend eternity. See, what it boils down to is this. If you accept the cross, then you accept payment for your sin. If you reject the cross, you've decided to pay for it yourself. That's about as simple as I can make it. If you accept the cross, you're going to let Christ pay for it. If you reject the cross, you're going to pay for it yourself. And for you to pay for it, you'll have to go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's just that cut and dried. And I'm going to ask you this morning, we're going to sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you saved? What side of the cross are you standing on this morning? You can either accept it or reject it. Because this wonderful cross, the importance of the cross, that's where the sins is nailed to. This one, the identity of the cross is the cross of Christ. It's not your cross. It's not your cross. It's the cross of Christ. He is the sacrifice for our sin. You understand? Huh? God died in your place. Now let me ask you, are you saved this morning? Are you truly saved this morning? Thank you. If you're not truly saved, why not? Why not? I believe this. I believe with all my heart the gospel has been preached. And I believe if you're unsaved, that God is speaking or has already spoken to your heart this morning. I believe that. Now the decision is yours. Will you accept or reject? It's going to divide this morning. It's going to divide right down the middle. What about you this morning? So no, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. I believe. I've trusted Christ. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad. I'm tickled. Now we ought to do Him justice. I do Him justice and live for Him. Not to. You know, we say the pledge to that flag every Sunday. I honor that flag. I believe in that flag, what it stands for. I believe that from my heart. Don't burn one around me. Stomp on it. I'm gonna have to gather it up and take it from you. And you know what makes it more important to me is the thousands upon thousands of men and women who have given their life that I might have freedom. And it means that much more to me. So I honor it. We'll always honor that flag here at this church. We always will. And that's why, because the price, what it means. You know, you was there, you understand. I'm going to honor that flag today. Always will. But the cross is even more important. For God died. Not man, but God died. And surely, I ought to honor the God who died in my place. If I'm going to honor the men and women who died for me to be free to preach it, then I ought to honor the one who left heaven to die that I might have it. I wonder today, would you come to Christ? You're not coming to the church. You're not coming for baptism or communion. You're coming because you're a sinner. You're guilty to God. You need to come to God. Will you come for that? And if you have already done that and you're not living right, won't you come and tell Him, I'm going to stand for you. And I'm not going to let nobody do you dirtier. I'm not going to let nobody misuse your name. I'm going to be a Christian all the way. How about this morning? Father, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.